2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wow, okay, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Lots going on today, of course. The Jazz reportedly close to making the deal official with Will Hardy, Celtics assistant, lead assistant to Ime Udoka. The pedigree's there, obviously, but it's a short one, and so people, I mean, it's one of these things, Scott, that feels a little bit wild when you hire a guy who has been an assistant, like a main assistant on a bench, for a team for one season in the NBA. But I think that the thing that is the most interesting about him, it's not just like, oh, well, he was really sharp and he came up really, really quickly through the ranks. Because I think, look, at this point, we've all been in a business where there's been a boss. At some point, your boss was younger than you were and you went, oh, yeah, okay. Maybe they were extremely young. I remember when I first got hired in this building, they hired this guy who was and I was 23 and a half when I first started working here. And I remember being like, they hired some project manager that I was like, this dude is like 24 and he's supposed to be leading up this whole department. And he lasted 2 friggin' seconds. But then I've also had people who have been super sharp and they're young and they're the ones that you look at and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not, this isn't just a, oh, the boss likes that guy and that's their person. It's, they have talent. They just don't have the experience yet. And that was one thing that stood out to me when I was listening to David Locke talk with Hans and Scotty today. Tim Lacombe is going to join us in just about 30 minutes on the program as well. So we've got all these people who are going to weigh in on this hire. And at the end of everything, you can't see the future, but I think that they see a guy who's super sharp. And I think there's a benefit to hiring youth. I think there's a benefit to hiring the person that everybody was going to end up wanting to hire in 2 or 3 years, hiring them right now.
I think you find great coaches in all different spaces, whether it's a young, inexperienced person who's never had a head coaching experience, youngest guy. I don't think that matters. Then you take a guy like a Bill Belichick and you go, you know, he was hired multiple places before he ever ended up in New England. It's not just the head coach. It's the people around him. It's the opportunity. It's the willingness from the organization. And I think the Jazz are in that category. I think they're a team that's willing to do whatever they can to make sure that Will Hardy succeeds. So I don't care, but that certainly is the question mark. Does he have the experience when he gets into, you know,
can he command
a
the room?
Scenario, right? Yeah. I mean, commanding the room, you know,
it's Mike Conley's his age. They are peers. And so I think when you have a guy, it's one thing. You know, and Lane Kiffin was coaching the Raiders for 5.5 seconds, right? And you go, oh, the dude's 28 or whatever it was, or 29. And, you know, 19 players on his roster are older than he is.
It could be his dad.
Right. Yeah. And his dad was even on the staff. And you go, right. What is going on with this? So there's that part. And sometimes those guys wash out. And you go, that is not going to work out. In this case, I think that Danny Ainge doesn't make a mistake like this. I think this is a person who, like I said, this is going to be the hire that people are going to want to make in 2 or 3 years. Why not get him now? Sign him up for a 5-year deal and see what you got. And see what you can get out of this guy. What is the thing he's going to bring? A championship mindset, which is the biggest thing that you have, Scott. And that's one thing that you came in today. And if you work with Scott Mitchell often enough, he comes in with big picture stuff all the time. Everything's a TED Talk for Scott. It's like, this thing was said and it was inspirational. And I wish that more people would think like this. And this bit of audio from Steve Kerr, which you found, you said, I want to play this because I think that this is the place where Jazz fans, Jazz coaches, the locker room all need to get is in that Steve Kerr mindset. This is him last November, before the team had even gotten to the point where they felt like they were a good team in the West. Here's what he said in one of the huddles in one of those games. Take a listen.
We're not just trying to win this game. We're trying to win the whole thing. We're going to do that. It's going to be about our minds just as much as our skill. So execute, take care of the ball, defend without fouling, over and over and over again.
You hear why he's yelling? Because that music was playing super loud. Well, he's like, I got to talk over this music.
But what was so fascinating to me, as you pointed out, this was back in November. Like, this is early on in the season. This is before you even know who your team is. And Steve Kerr is already thinking about a championship. And he understands the process of getting to a championship. And it's not just a once-in-a-while kind of proposition. It's not like, you know, we'll get them in the playoffs or I'll get it next time or I'll do whatever. It's about getting your mind right on every possession, on every game, and it all matters. Because here you have this Utah Jazz team, right? And I'm thinking about this roster. And I'm thinking about every press conference that we heard after every game.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard the same thing. Yeah, we know what to do. Yeah, we got this. We got it. We understand. We know we got to play better defense. We got to do this. We got to finish games. I've got to close out. I've got to do that. You know, I know. And you heard it over and over and over again.
And it just never seemed to happen.
And what clicked in my brain was there's two things that you should deduct from these answers and what you saw from the Utah Jazz last season and that roster and how it was put together. One, these players are uncoachable because they know what to do. They understand, so they've been taught. They recognize it. Or two, they're incapable. And either one of those options,
it's not
a winning culture.
Right.
It's not acceptable. And it's I think the most fascinating thing to me is this going to be an oil and water situation? Is this going to be awkward and uncomfortable for some of these players? Are some of these players going to go, man, I can't get on board with it?
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This, or can they get on board with this? And can Will Hardy figure out how to get the most out of whatever he inherits with the Jazz and whatever the front office brings to him? Because I really believe he's a guy that has that championship mindset and that culture and understanding what it takes on a day-to-day basis if you're going to win.
Do you think that, I mean, and this comes up because as soon as this hire happened, your whole thing is like, okay, but is this guy going to have a championship mindset? I can't think that, I wouldn't think that he could have anything but that right now. Because they were just in the middle of all that. And when the playoffs started up, I found this little chunk of audio when they had done an interview with the coaching staff right at the beginning of the playoffs and how their mindset changed. They were already an excellent team. They were already the hottest team in the NBA, right? But Ime Udoka was like, I'm asking more of my assistants now. I'm asking more of the players. And I'm telling them, all of us across the entire board are on the same page as to what we need to do. Apologies again for the behind the audio music that apparently is the thing now. Should we just play super loud hip hop music behind all of our interviews the rest of the, for the rest of the time? Here's Will Hardy talking about what his philosophy is on Ime Udoka's staff and what they were doing for these players as they got into the playoffs in terms of what their mindset was.
I think where the playoff piece comes into the picture for us as a staff is the standards that we're trying to have. At this point in the season, there are certain things that are unacceptable. There are certain mistakes that we shouldn't be making anymore as a team and as a staff. So, you know, holding ourselves to a postseason standard, I think, is where the playoffs come in. We don't talk about how far we think we'll go. You do want to have a day-to-day approach with the guys, just keep them focused and in the moment. But as a staff, I think the postseason part really comes into how, you know, the standard that we're trying to hold them to.
They have like an idea in their head, like, hey, we have a standard, and it was one way in the regular season, and now we've conscientiously stepped it up. This is that was the voice of the guy who's going to be the new head coach.
It doesn't sound
Utah
34,
Jazz.
By the way.
Right? I was pretty glad. I mean, if you watch a lot of these other interviews I watched with him were him coming off the floor, going in and talking to, you know, NBC Boston about, Coach, what did you guys see in the first half? He's like, oh, yeah, we executed, blah, blah. Just like the in-game, well, we didn't take enough three-pointers, blah, blah, you know, all that stuff. This is kind of a more of a 30,000-foot view of, we have a standard for this team, and you could tell that it started way back when this whole staff got together and they had to figure this thing out. And it took a minute for everybody to buy in. And as soon as the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, you know, quote-unquote experiment, whether or not that was going to work, when everybody decided that, it was working, by the time we kind of gave the nod, like, oh, yeah, they are working pretty well together, boom, they're Eastern Conference champions and then the NBA Finals.
You know,
so they know that feeling. Yeah. What I'm saying is that feeling is fresh there, and that can't be replaced. No person in that locker room for the Jazz know what that feeling is like to be in that spot.
Well, you got a young coach with the Boston Celtics, kind of unheard of, unheralded, and you saw what he was able to do in his first year, that he could command a locker room with really a lot of egos. I mean, a lot of different personalities. And he got them all to buy into that process of, you know, and that standard of a championship. And so much of it, I think when you see guys play defense in the NBA, I think that's when they buy into culture. I think they realize, and I think it's because defense takes so much more effort. You know, offense is kind of flashy and fun, and at the end of a possession, it's like you make a three-pointer, you make a slam dunk, man, that feels amazing. But on defense, you get a stop, and you're not fist pumping. Like, yeah, nice job, you know, and high-fiving, and, it's like you just get the ball back. And so the tendency is to go, yeah, you know, we'll get to defense because everyone cares about offense. And then you have this young coach, and I think there's this with Will Hardy, there's maybe an expectation or, you know, I hear some things about, well, they hired an inexperienced coach, so you know what that means, it's rebuild. And I don't think that's the case.
Do you think that – hiring a coach like this, a guy like Rudy and Donovan would sit down and go, I'm going to give this guy a shot, and I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to give our team a shot. I'm going to give this roster a shot with Rudy and Donovan. Obviously, you're not going to see them run the whole thing back again, but I think the real question is do you run back Donovan and Rudy again? I don't know. Mike Conley, somebody's going to have to be gone in that backcourt. Bogey could be gone. Mike Conley could be gone. Roster changes could happen, but would a change like this actually get a guy like Rudy and a guy like Donovan to go, we got to figure our stuff out because this guy's pretty special and we could be special? And, like, it refreshes you as a pro, right?
You know what I'll take? I'll take a coach that comes in and just says, here's the standard. I'm going to hold you to it. And if you're not doing it, it's not going to work for you here. And you know what? You're going to get everybody's attention. And I want to see a team play like that. And I think Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are capable of playing like that. I think other guys on this team are capable of playing like that. You know, Jordan Clarkson. I mean, is you know, he Could he be a guy that could play like that? Because it's really all about defense. I mean, that's what it is. Now Magic Johnson, getting back to this rookie coach and just kind of rebuild. I don't believe it's a rebuild. No one told Magic Johnson when he showed up. Like, they didn't go, you know, hey, you're a rookie and you got 82 games. You know, that was Kareem. Like, he was hugging and high-fiving after they won their first game of the season, and Kareem tried to put him in his place. And Magic says, I'm going to hug you after every single win. And he brought this youthful excitement and attitude. Because really, Will Hardy, this is it. Like, this is his opportunity. This is his chance to really make a mark and be something and be an NBA coach.
Ooh, I just got some goosebumps, Scott. I'm excited.
It's the beginning of it for him.
I get excited about this kind of stuff.
And so, you know, I would hope that he would see that and just say, you know, I'm not going to have excuses, and I'm going to go for it.
That's what the Jazz are doing. I think they're trying to figure this thing out. I think that they hired a good one. Everybody else is looking at this, and they're – you know, when they do draft grades and things like that, and they go, oh, yeah, I don't know, the Jazz are an A-, or, you know, this team's a C+, or the Knicks failed again.
Universally, the Jazz were a DNF.
Did not finish the draft. But as it pertains to this, people look, I haven't seen one person go, good luck with that guy. He didn't know what he's doing. Universally, people are like, oh, yeah, that's one of the bright minds in basketball. And Danny Ainge goes, I'm going to place my bet early on this thing. I'm going to put the chips down early on Will Hardy. I'm going to bring in David Fizdale, and we're going to be as the assistant GM under Justin Zanuck. We're going to have a group in that room who isn't going to be, as you've put it before, a Larry H. Miller, you know, family group, right? Quinn Snyder was still part of that part of that Miller hiring group, right? I mean, Justin Zanuck and Dennis Lindsay, you know, they were all part of that too. But now you've got this thing where you go, Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, David Fizdale. Justin Zanuck has kind of been that continuous line through here, but he's bought in, right? Because he's been told to buy in, and there he is. And then you bring in a brand new coach, one of the brightest that the game has right now. Why not? I'm interested to see how this thing goes. Let's take the break here when we come back. Yeah, more to go. We have a What Are the Odds? It's going to be a Jazz edition of the What Are the Odds, considering that now they have a reported head coach. So it's going to be revolving around that situation, and we'll give you some of our odds as to how things are going to end up for the Jazz. Spring is here. Actually, summer's here, all right? So if you're already into summer, RGS Exteriors and Construction is going to give you that look for that new stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding, whatever you need. Get that new look for 2022. Give them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors and Construction. Get those rain gutters fixed. Do the stuff that you've been trying to do to make the outside of your home work better and look better. RGS Exteriors and Construction. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. What are the odds is next? Stay right here. Unravel continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.